Well, good morning. My name's Ian Powell, one of the ministers at St. Matt's at Waniasa in the Australian Capital Territory. Welcome to church, or it's probably more, thank you for welcoming us into your home. We're going to talk about how to flourish in tough times. We've been looking at this series on being confident in a crisis, and today some of God's great secrets on how to flourish in difficult times as well as in good times.
Good morning. Our first Bible reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, that the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Deb, and I'm reading from James 1, verses 19 to 25. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Those of you who've been with us before will know at the moment we've got a series called Confidence in Crisis, and we're looking at Psalms, these great old poems or songs. These are the songs that Jesus would have sung, and we're going to read the first one, Psalm 1. And then Steve's going to come and shed some light, more light on it for us. So if you'd like to join in reading this aloud with me, or just read along in your own heart and mind. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Steve.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Let's pray before we look at Psalm 1. O Word of God incarnate, O Wisdom from on high, O Truth unchanged, unchanging, O Light of our dark sky, we praise Thee for the radiance that from these holy pages are a lantern to our footsteps. Shine on us now, Lord, with your wisdom and truth. Amen. A question, let me ask you. Are you happy? Are you happy? What makes you happy? There's something for you to pause and think about, to jot down, to write about, reflect on. What is happiness? Is it the old normal? Pre-bushfires, pre-COVID-19, is that happiness? Is it the new normal? I love the new normal. I love going for walks, and I find people more friendly at the moment. They say hi and they smile as they rush past you thinking you're infectious. I love the new normal of relaxing and not having so much going on. I love the opportunity to touch base with my family and my friends and speak more often on the phone. I love the time that I get to spend in prayer and reading the Bible and not have a billion other things on my mind to do. What is happiness? Are you longing for a new normal? Are you longing for something new or just going back to the same old? How can we become happy? How do we flourish? Is it all just pure luck? Is it the family you were born in? Does it depend on what century you were born in or the time and place that you live? Does it depend on your genetics? Does it depend on how your brain is wired, that you are either up or down, that you are consistent, stable? Does it depend on the school you went to? How you are grounded in life, opportunities you have? Do we make our own happiness? Is happiness inevitable? Is happiness unattainable? Is happiness possible? Well, that's what today's passage, Psalm chapter 1, is all about. The first book of the Psalms, first Psalm, sets us off in a big picture of what it looks like to be God's blessed people. And there's two ways to live. There's choices, there's consequences. My dad, when I was young, used to love to say to us, not love, when we were naughty, me and my brothers, he'd say to us, Steve, there's going to be consequences. And in life, there's going to be consequences. Choices, changes, opportunities. And so Psalm 1 gives us a picture of what it means to choose well. We begin with the blessed one, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one. Blessing. I received some emails from some people. My old lecturer at Bible college used to sign off saying every blessing. That was a little prayer for me. For others, I think, or at least it was a nice little tagline at the end, every blessing. One of the key words in the Bible, which perfectly describes deep and abiding happiness, is the word blessing. And it's funny how we use blessing, isn't it? We use hashtag blessing on the internet, hashtag blessing, I got a car park at the hospital. Miracle of all miracles, I found one within 10 minutes, hashtag blessed. Or we say, God bless you when someone sneezes. Blessing is a word in our vocabulary. Why do we say this? Why are we asking blessing? And why do we want to be this person here? Is blessed is the one? Well, as you might have seen and heard on Phil's Kids Talk, blessing, to be blessed, describes a life of delight. It describes a life of fruitfulness. It describes a life of abundant stability, a sense of worth. It's a person who's experiencing God's special, applied, specific, present, continuous favour and grace. To be blessed means, in the essence of your soul, flowing out into the life around you, a person who is experiencing God's special, specific, applied, present, continuous grace and favour. And so the obvious question next is, what does it mean to be a blessed one? Blessed is the one who... How do we get there? Well, Psalm 1 will tell us, but before we get to the blessed person, it goes to the opposite path. Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Who are the wicked, the sinners and the mockers? Well, they're a category, a summary statement of an autonomous self, of people, either individual or community or nation or groupthink, who put up the hand and say the big stuff you to God, that turns from God, receives opportunities, blessings, sunshine, what a beautiful day today, receives talent and ability to think, that all our little pieces, most of them, are together. It takes people and opportunities and says a big stuff you to God, I will take it and I will live my life curved in on myself, away from you, in a life of jealousy, of pride, of bitterness, of resentment, of lust, of greed, of power seeking, and more. Unfortunately, in all the beauty of this world and the beauty of people that we can see the effects of this wickedness and sinners and mockery, can't we? We can see fractured lives. Again and again, we read on the news of anxiety increasing. We see fractured families. We see fractured communities and countries. We see abuse. We see misuse. We see crisis. We see combat. And we see death. And then it's people turning around and mocking God. It's a godless life where God is out of the picture. It's a basis for living, for thinking, for being, for teaching others, of communicating, of enticing others to join. And this verse is asking straight away at the start of the Psalms, the songbook of the Old Testament, is saying, whose presence do you live in? We're all shaped by people around us. Who's your influence? What's your path to blessing? Whose favour are you seeking? Whose influence are you receiving? Right from the start of the book of Psalms, the Psalms that Jesus read and sung and spoke out of, we read that God wants us to be blessed people, to be deeply flourishing, vital, stable, fruitful. He wants this church to be a blessed people. The first thing the Psalms chooses to say about being blessed is that they do not follow the path, the advice, the life of godlessness. Instead, verse 2, we read, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his word day and night. The law of the Lord can mean a specific command, or it can mean a whole chunk of scripture. The God who is there, who is here, who is real, has spoken. The God who is infinitely, eternally, unchangeably wise and good and beautiful and powerful and gracious and loving and kind has spoken. In the Bible, God is called our judge and our king. Last week, we saw that he is our shepherd, where his loving kindness and goodness will pursue us all the days of our life. He is called a shield. He's called a master. He's called a deliverer, an advocate. He is called Emmanuel, God with us. If God is all these things for us, which he is, and he has spoken, then we should be listening actively. And Jesus gave the reason for this in his teachings. He said this in John 15, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Just before he went to the cross, Jesus prayed to the Father and said, Father, I pray that my joy may be in them. The joy that you've given me may be in them. Verse 2, the Hebrew for meditate, as Ian's mentioned a couple of times in the past, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. The word means literally to mumble to yourself. And I've got an older brother who works in the dairy industry, so cows have been a big thing in our family for a long time. And you hear about how cows chew the cud. The cow, they wake up in the morning, eat some grass, have a chew, lay down, have a nap. After their nap, they regurgitate the grass they ate, chew on it a little bit more, extract more nutrients, then take another nap. The cow wakes up again, regurgitates again, continues this process until all the nutrients are gone, sucks the life out of this grass so it gets all of it. It's a great picture, isn't it? That is chewing, mumble to yourself, sucking the life out of something. Blessed is the one who does with this with Scripture. Here's an application point for us today. First application point, be like a cow. Suck it dry. Get everything you can out of it. Write this down. Read your Bible like a cow. You want to be blessed? Really? You've got to get into the Word. We've got to get more serious about the Word. Even if you're really serious, get more serious about it. Read it daily. Memorize it. Life groups, write it everywhere. The reason being here, If you do verse 1 and 2, verse 3 will happen. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do prospers. They don't wither, no matter what the season is. This is the person who's saturated in the Bible. This is a person who's being fed from on high from God. One of my heroes, George Mueller, who started orphanages upon orphanages upon orphanages, had a wonderful ministry about 200 years ago, 150 years ago, a profound ministry. He said when he woke up in the morning, what was the first thing he tried to do? Did he plan out his day? Did he plan out what he was meant to do, how he could help people? He said, no, what I did in the first point, what I made my life's purpose in the first point in my day was how to make my soul blessed. How to be full. So that then when he lived out his life, he didn't live a life out of a deficit. He lived a life out of abundance. This is the person who is saturated in the Bible, a blessed life. Are flourishing in life, producing a harvest of good things only because what they choose to take in. They are, as it were, planted by a permanent stream. They're constantly watered, sustained. Their roots dig down deep, drawing fresh supplies from the ground. I love to draw cards for my wife and my kids, and almost always it's with a flower on the front of the card. But I don't know, part of my obsessiveness is I can't draw a flower without drawing the root system as well. It's weird. I have this beautiful, not that beautiful my drawing, but it's sort of beautiful and colourful. But then there's these big ugly brown roots underneath with nodules and stuff under there. That's because that's where the root system is, soaking up nutrients, where the root system provides security and stability for this flower to grow, flowing upward and outward. And so what this passage is saying is have you neglected being fed constantly, regularly? Are you being nourished? Do you have a first-hand, constant experience of his grace and truth? As was read before, James chapter 1, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, God's word, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. But then we come to the counterpoint. If you are not blessed, if you don't do verses 1 and 2, the alternative is almost too hard to bear, too much to consider. It is a life that is ultimately worthless. It is chaff. Verse 4, the cursed life. The blessed life, the cursed life. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. If you choose to reject God's word, if you choose to reject the God who is there, you will have no fruit, you'll have no security. You'll have no prosperity. God says you'll be blown away. Nobody deep down wants to be chaff. Rootless, weightless, useless, and perishing. Psalms gives a picture right from the start, Psalm 1, of the life that we have opportunity to live. Two ways to live. You have either one or the other. And so our question is, what are your prospects now, this next week? What are your prospects for the rest of this year? What are your prospects post-COVID-19? What are your prospects for eternity? Will you be blessed? Will you guarantee it? Do you love this thing? One of my heroes, Francis Schaeffer, I love his some number of his books. It's just before he died, he reached over and patted his Bible and just said, I love this thing. Without this, there'd be no light, no hope, no purpose, no meaning. Do you love this thing? It's here that we meet Jesus, the wisest, the most profoundly blessed and blessing person who can live, who has lived, who will ever live. It's here that we enter into a relationship with the one who is called our wisdom and our righteousness. Here we meet the one who always and only acts rightly. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and wickedness and mockery and live for righteousness. Jesus suffered the curse of sin, of mockery, of wickedness, absorbing our punishment, accepting the shame and humiliation, and providing forgiveness and freedom. It is the best news ever. And he releases us by his Spirit to live a life of righteousness, a life that acts appropriately in every situation, bearing his fruit, a life where his love comes in us and flows out of us, a life where his joy comes in us and flows out of us, a life where his peace comes into us that he's won on the cross and flows out of us to others, a life where his patience with us flows in us and we are patient, a life where his kindness comes to us. He deals kindly with the knowledge of our weakness and we are kind to others, a life where his goodness and his faithfulness and his gentleness and his self-control overflow, where we bear fruit in all seasons, where we hear, where we trust, where we heed his commands, that brings rest and justice and joy. Now, the truth is you don't need to read the Bible to become a Christian. You need to trust in Jesus as Saviour. Confess your sins and ask him to be your Lord and follow him. You don't need to read the Bible to become a Christian, but you need to read the Bible to live as a Christian, because here is life. Here is life. So I want to encourage you to read the Bible extensively, large slabs. Go home and read the whole book of Ephesians this week. Read the whole book of Ephesians today, and then read Ruth tomorrow, and then read Jonah the next day, and then read Mark. It takes an hour to read the whole gospel and see the glory of Jesus. Read a psalm a day. Memorize verses. This week I've been thinking about Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, the King, the Lord, the kind King, Saviour and Judge. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will you do? He'll make your path straight. Promise. Don't read the Bible like an attorney, just reading out a will to make the sense of it, to catch its argument. Read the Bible like an heir, listening to a loved one and the inheritance they offer. Hear their voice. Read the Bible with anticipation to know the one who loves us so much, who sent his son to die for us, to give us an inheritance that will never, never spoil nor fade. The truth is, you might not delight in God's word at the moment. You might not even know this God. Here's one thing I've learned. God overflows with grace for those who come to him with need. He never turns away the broken or those who are crying out for help. Come to him and pray, Lord, please give me a love for your scriptures. Open to me the treasures of your knowledge and the riches of your wisdom and grace. Do you want to be happy? I do. Do you want to be blessed? Well, then you can be. Blessed is the one who delights in the law, the word, the command, the gift, the truth, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who chews on it like a cow, sucks it dry, lives it out, refueled, flourishing, fruitful every day. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that you are the wise one, the righteous one. You always, always act rightly. You've brought us into your family. You've given us your word. And you've told us this is life and life in abundance. Help us to be a people of your word, reading it, obeying it, flourishing, producing fruit that lasts. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me finish with a great prayer before we say the grace. This is one of the best of the sort of Anglican prayer book prayers. Let me lead you in this prayer. Our blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us so to hear them, read them, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that encouraged and supported by your holy word, we may embrace and always hold fast the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you've given to us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you, if you'd like to join with me in praying the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.